You're listening to Artitude, a podcast with artists created and produced by Detlef Schlick, a visual artist and ritual designer, living and loving in West Cork, and best known for his essay about the cause and effect of shamanism, art and digital culture. Working in the field of performance, photography, painting, sound, installations, and film, he will dive and discover with us and a weekly creative guest into the unknown and exciting deep ocean of the creative mind.
This is Detlef Schlick, and today we dive into the deep and unknown exciting ocean of our creative mind together with Julia Melza. We had her already in last show, and we had her already three shows before this year. In last show, we started to speak about her experience being on stage without alcohol, her work in school, and this episode I would like to go as well into the listener and answer questions and more going maybe deeper into her experience with the tour. And let's see how we end today. So hi, Julia, great to have you in the show again.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Yeah. And you're back actually, so from your England show, and you had already two shows here in Germany, in Essen and in Düsseldorf, was it? Huh?
Yes, but on the UK, five shows, and yeah, Düsseldorf and Essen.
And you guys, you have your own band bus?
Yeah, we have our own band bus, our Bowie bus. It looks like a hippie car, a really, really nice bus. We all love him so much. Hopefully, we can have many years with this car.
How long do you have the car already, the bus?
It's a bus from our bass player, Tino. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long, but he got the bus from his father, so I think more than 25 years.
Wow.
So longer.
Wow. And it's still working well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
We need a bigger bus, but it's hard to change because we had so many great adventures with this bus. So every time when we tour around Germany, we put all the stuff inside. And it's absolutely horrible because it's
tight.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of space for the band members. Unfortunately, the PA is getting smaller and smaller, isn't it? I mean,
we have a lot of merch and stage stuff, you know. So time would come. we need a bigger bus or another bus,
a second one. I know.
Five behind us.
I mean, the second one would be bad, wouldn't it? So you could, well, I mean, these such VWs, they are really kind. The newer ones, they have already just roofs. You can put it up like a telescope roof. You open the roof and you can stand on the bus.
Yeah, our bus also has that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's an old bus, but he still have it.
Okay, cool. Great. Yeah, we were next, last episode we spoke about being sober on stage, and I admitted, Julia, that for me it was, I mean, I never was really sober on stage. I had always at least a bottle or two bottles of beer, at least. And she explains the experience, how it is on stage, being there without alcohol, so which is, it is great, I have to try it, actually, because I have as well a new band, and if you have, I think, two or three gigs in a row, I couldn't have a gig and partying and then have on the next day again a gig, you know, so I wouldn't feel really well, you know. And I told to Dirk already, I said, Dirk, if we go on a tour, how are we going to manage that? You know, so it's okay. And we have to get up early in the morning on the next day and going in the sauna and swimming or whatever, you know, and doing some sport. Like you do your yoga, no?
Yeah, I totally love it. Can't live without it. And I also do yoga on tour, not like at my home space, but a little workout to feel good and smooth.
Yeah, I'm always, if I'm going to do actually dream yoga.
What yoga?
Dream yoga.
I don't know that.
You don't know that? Oh, that's great. So you just, you close your eyes and you dream your yoga, you know?
Oh, okay. Maybe I switch into dream sports.
I mean, it helps me somehow. So at least I get the feeling that after that, I'm feeling, actually, you should feel exhausted. I mean, and then I dream my sit-ups and all that, you know, and that helps as well already, you know. So I got one and two and three and four and five.
That sounds so funny.
Yeah. No, I exercise a little bit.
Maybe my condition.
Your condition.
We get better when I. I did 60 minutes on the depot. Wow.
I mean, but to be honest, they say, I don't know who's they now, but they say that even if you imagine you're going to do a sport, you know.
Yeah, if you
burn calories.
You can do it. So, and if you imagine it, it's the same like when you do it. If brain couldn't make the difference, or that what you say?
Yeah, the brain can't distinguish. When I work very intense on research, I feel, and that's really true. You burn a lot of calories. If you are intense, an intense thinker, and intense researching, or very concentrated on things like this, you burn a lot of, and that's for sure proof. So, and as well, I used to be therapist for elderly people in Germany, and I did brain training with them, you know, in order to prophylactic, in order that they're not getting. You can prevent Alzheimer and all things like this, you know?
Nice.
With brain training, because this brain training is therefore that the blood circulation in the brain is getting better if you train your brain. So, and there are several methods, like you write numbers down from 1 to 100 and you tell them, now you connect them, but just with your eyes, you know? So you have to find 1, 2, and look at 3, 4, 5, you know? And do that, it takes you probably couple of minutes, and you really feel your brain is getting exhausted because of focusing on all these numbers, you know, and that's
nice.
That's yeah, and
I would
and
try it
and that are the moments where your brain is really focused on things, because normally I'm just reading a book about slow thinking and quick thinking. The quick thinking is actually that everyday thinking, what you're going to do, you know, if you're going to make a coffee and that and that and that, it's all in the process, and you don't have to, it's in the flow. It's just in the flow, and you don't have to think about that. But as soon as there comes something what is not in your everyday routine, you know. For instance, if you have to learn a new lyrics, or you have to really have to focus singing in tune and all that, there your brain, I mean, it's creativity, and there your brain is actually focusing again more, has to process slow in order to, because it has to learn, and it's not just in the flow, it's something new again, you know. And that are the moments where you're really, and I think that's the reason why creative people, they're getting older without getting Alzheimer's. I mean, except Bruce Willis, okay. But normally, a lot of creative people, they're not suffering from Alzheimer's, you know. Probably these issues that even in your 70s and your 80s, you're getting in contact with learning every day something new, you know. I find that quite interesting, and I'm just reading about the work on neurons and synapses, how they're going to work together, and regarding this issue. I like somehow this neuroscientific things. So I don't know. So it's that's probably the reason why I like it as well. To research in AI, in artificial intelligence, you know.
Yeah.
Because that shows me somehow how our brain works, you know. Then better I understand AI, as KI, künstliche Intelligenz, then yeah. better I understand myself. It's weird.
Yeah.
Very weird. So yeah. I would say the reason why I had Julia as well on the show was that that couple of listeners said, so it was so nice. And we heard she's making a show and so on. And I had a couple of listener questions, and I would start now with these questions. I'll start with the first. It's from Alex from Bristol.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
From UK, and he asked, Julia, your tour through cities like London and Manchester must have been electrifying, given their rich punky history. Could you share a moment that stood out to you as emblematic of the punk spirit still alive in these cities today? Yeah, he mentioned London and Manchester, and he said that that must be electrifying for you.
Yeah, it was. It was absolutely fantastic. And in London, I went with Steven to the classic Sex Pistols Street, where they had her rehearsal room, and there were a lot of guitar stores, and it was really, really nice. And yes, I felt the punk spirit. If it's still alive, it is because I'm here. Election is here. So, and a lot of other punk bands are here, so
I would say punk is really never that. I mean, punk spirit is it is still alive. It is not just
you also don't say is rock and roll still alive. Come on, everything is still alive. We live, so everything is going on.
absolutely. So yeah. Thank you, Alex, for this question. So I hope we helped you a little. We helped you a little bit with this. There is then now Simone from the same town, actually, where you are from Regensburg.
Oh, yeah.
She asks, having experienced the punk scene in both Germany and England, how do you compare the two? Is there a difference in the way punk culture expresses itself, or do you find a universal punk ethos regardless of geography? No, I give it to you.
It's super funny because people always ask me questions about punk, and I don't see myself in any shores. I'm just a human, but what I can say. I know the punk scene in Germany, and I know the punk scene in England. And for me, what I can say, I think the scene in the UK is still a little bit bigger.
And harder.
Yeah, punk music is from England. So generally, in the UK are more bands, more music. They are more into this music, live feeling.
They're more playful. They're more playful. I mean, the English, they if it comes to music, and that's where London was so great. They're more colorful, more playful. They were not like, I mean, I think the Germans, they used to be, I'm not sure if it's still the case, but they used to be very, you know, so star up and this had to be then that.
Yeah.
And somehow the English music scene very open with it somehow, I think. So, but I think even as well, I mean, punk is now everywhere, and I think punk is a feeling. For me, was punk always a feeling, or punk rock, you know, so that's, I mean.
For me too. For me, punk is like the passion. You can do whatever you want to do, so there are no rules.
Yeah. I mean, it's rare. I mean, I remember my my first, I mean, I never was a punk. I mean, and I was in no scene. I was not a heavy metaler and, you know, I didn't mind. I mean, maybe a little bit new romantic or whatever, you know, if you but I love punk parties, these folk things, you know, this wild,
yeah,
really wild energy was great. But as well, just for a certain time, I mean, I couldn't do that all the time, you know, but I can't listen hours to Led Zeppelin, or I can't listen hours to Motorhead or to Sid Vicious. I think I need always a little bit different informations to my brain. Some people can listen punk all day and all night long, no? 24 hours.
Yeah, me.
Really?
I can listen to Motorhead 24/7.
No, I would go crazy.
Yeah, I'm crazy. Oh, I can.
All right, cool. So there's TJ from LA, from Los Angeles, asks, on your tour, you performed at various venues, from iconic spots to lesser known gems. What has been your favorite venue in England, and what made it special for you and your band?
Okay, first time I thought my favorite venue will be in London, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
My heart place is in Dockport. It's
in Manchester.
The spinning top. The owner, Mike, he's such a lovely human. He's a sweetheart, and you can feel his energy and his passion in his pub. Yeah, that was absolutely great. And maybe if you went to the pub, you would think, why Julia say that? But for me, it's the warm welcome, and it was really, really.
I must say, dear listeners, plan was actually to visit Julia in Manchester, because the flight from Cork to Manchester is quite cheap. So I had a look a little bit. I researched the pub as well, and I saw a couple of images of the pub, and it's quite interesting because they have as well. They're gonna do open mic things, no, and jam sessions and tread sessions probably too. I saw a couple of images where people just were playing guitar in a circle.
Yeah.
So it looks like a hub somehow for creative people.
It's a wonderful place.
That's good to know. So I have to visit that as well. So yeah, TJ. So that is...
Yeah. Do it. When you're around, visit Mike in the spinning top.
All right. So...
And say hi from me.
Yeah. Do. Now we have Richa from Delhi, from India.
Ah, I was in India. Beautiful. Yeah, for sure.
Together with your mother, no? Not on Goa parties.
No, I was too young.
So you don't remember that?
No.
so you don't remember India?
No, I remember India, but if I was on a Goa party, I didn't remember.
Okay.
No, I'm just joking. On a gold party, I saw the beautiful places and the lovely people, and that what I remember.
All right, well, I mean, Richard, she asks, punk rock has always had a rebellious and political edge. During your time in England, did you encounter any movements or messages within the punk community that resonate with you? How do you see punk rock evolving as a platform for social commentary? So, all right, so... There are two questions, isn't it? Yeah. The community there, did it resonate with you? Did it connect with you?
I'm always connected into the punk scene, because there are always some people who are rebelling with political stuff. Yeah, and there are always new teams, and I'm also totally interested in it. And, you know, there is a big woman bewegung.
Woman activists, feminists.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. And I think it's always a platform for everyone. So, yeah, I was totally connected. And so I hope this is a good answer for this good question.
Yeah, she asks as well, how do you see punk rock evolving as a platform for social commentary? It is already a platform for social commentary, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So since the 80s already, I mean, if you look back to the beginning of punk,
yeah,
and punk rock, it's quite interesting. Unfortunately, it's always the same. At the beginning, if it's a platform for social commentary, often the industry, the music industry takes over, and all of a sudden it gets superficial, oberflächlich, sometimes just for fashion or so on, you know, and the deeper meaning disappears. But yeah, I give the ball to you. Social commentary. I mean, if you listen to Julia's songs, most of them, they are very deep. They have very deep social themes, don't they?
Yeah, and like our song "Dead Girls," I speak about the feminist problems, and there is a big platform for many girls, and we talk about many things. And
did you have a personal experience with a girl which passed away, died?
Yes, but
you know, we don't have to speak about it. I just was wondering if this comes somehow as well into your song, in this song, you know.
But the song is not about about that girl.
Ah, okay. That I was wondering as I was listening to the song. I said, so what's about, you know?
Yeah, no, so it's really for all women with so much pain inside, you know. There are so many untold stories. And
Sure.
I sometimes really don't want to think about it, because every woman... Yeah, it's have her story, and
absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Richard, I think that gave you somehow a little bit, it helped you. So the last question we have here now is from
Ethan. Love to India.
yeah, for me too. The last question is from Ethan, from Manchester.
Oh, cool.
So Julia, punk music has a history of influencing fashion, and there we are. Attitude and even art beyond music itself. From your recent experiences, how do you see punk influencing contemporary culture in England, especially among the younger generation?
It absolutely inspired the young generation. You can see it everywhere, but I have a little problem to get in this question.
The fact that you play on festivals in England, it gives you maybe a little bit more insider information. You're probably not the only punk band which is playing then on the festivals. So you're, what I saw, you play often with 3-4 other bands, isn't it?
Yeah. We played always with other bands.
And are they as well from the punk scene, or are they different?
A lot of them. Yeah,
I think this would be maybe interesting for the listeners to explain that a little bit, what it is. So a scene, there is still a punk scene there. That's what I mean.
Absolutely.
I mean, I told you I had a Cliff Roman from the Weirdos in my podcast, and he is actually the founder of the punk rock in California, the scene.
Oh.
And they have a reunion and playing together as well again. And what I see then is this typically punk rock posters. They're often quite similar from the scene. And that's interesting, because that shows how punk rock influences the younger generation nowadays again, with special graphics, with the special, I would say, trash graphics, this scene, this understatement scene, actually, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But there are coming also new styles and new
influence, not influence, no? Yeah. Is there any band where could describe it? Would you say, okay, this band is somehow something new?
New. Emil and the Sniffers. It's absolutely punk, but it's new.
Okay, how are you going to spell it?
Emil.
A-M-Y-L. Emil and the Sniffers. Okay, so yeah. Dear listeners, I mean, and Ethan, listen to Emil and the Sniffers, and maybe that might give you an answer somehow. Would be great.
They are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, I mean, I will, and I haven't heard from them as well, so I will listen to them as well. And cool. Great, Julia. I mean, I would say that was quite, actually, that's where we were getting through. We managed it today without getting exhausted.
Yeah, I'm happy that I could give an answer to all the questions.
Yeah, because the time flies. We all know that. Dear listeners, now before we end the show again with a song, I would say if you want to follow Julia, it's on Instagram.
The band, you can find Erection Band on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify.
Yeah. Julia is as well on Facebook, and if you have special questions, she might answer it as well there. And or come then to Instagram to @artitude or to @detschlich or to @IsleofWestcorkArtists, or come to Facebook and join the Isle of West Cork Artists group and become member, and you're getting actively then in discussions as well. And if you have questions, you're always more than welcome to direct message me or writing me a mail or sending me a Facebook or an email to info@artitude.com. I mean, you find it online. That's not a big deal. Yeah. And I would say, let's go for a song. Which song are we going to play?
We play You Suffocate Me. That's the new song from the new album.
Julia, I thank you very, very much to have you in the last two shows. And dear listeners, go back. We have three other episodes before that. If you like that, what you will listen to, you get more infos. And yeah, don't hesitate just to get engaged with questions and all that. Julia, take care.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye. And bye-bye, dear listeners. See you. Hear you next Sunday, 10 a.m. Bye.
Listen to Artitude, West Cork's first art, fashion and design podcast. Artitude, never so close again.
Ah!
That was too close.